This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we uncover stories, ideas, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of deep love, relationships, and good sex. Oh, and a little bit of manifestation sprinkled in there too. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bedside Podcast. Happy Wednesday. And this week, you guys, I am fired up because this has been such a long-awaited episode that I feel like we've been teasing on the show for quite some time. But I have my amazing facialist and esthetician, Alicia Pullen, on the show today. And we are chatting all things skincare. I truly, and you'll hear me say this in the actual episode, but I truly met Alicia in such a magical way. And when I tell you she became such a fast friend and someone who helped me tremendously on my own skincare journey, specifically my own hormonal skincare journey, I really mean it. She truly has transformed my skin and shared with me such a unique perspective on her skincare philosophy that I had never really heard up until meeting her. We talked today a lot between the difference of dermatology versus being an esthetician, and I am someone who is a byproduct of always going to the dermatologist to have a lot of my skincare practices based off of dermatology. And while that's not a bad thing, when I met Alicia, she really helped me see my skin in much more of a holistic way, which is exactly what we are getting into today. So on this episode, we are talking all things regimen, Alicia's skincare philosophy, and really getting into the nitty-gritty of her steps on like what we should actually be focusing on for our skincare and what doesn't matter. I think a huge thing for me when I was going through my own hormonal skin journey was realizing that I had way too many things in my skincare routine. And it was because I truly fell victim to kind of like all the different skincare trends and like wanting to do the most. And what I learned really from working with Alicia is doing the least and then adding more back into your routine helps tremendously. So anyways, we go into her nitty-gritty steps of what we should really be focusing on. We chat about what the difference is between going to an esthetician versus a derm and when you need to see each. We also talk a lot about stress and how things outside of just topicals can contribute to the health of our skin. And really, like I mentioned, a much more holistic attitude around our skincare and how we can take care of that. And we also get into injectables, Botox, filler, the good, the bad, how we can incorporate it into a routine that works for us, whether or not we need preventative Botox. I was really, really keen to get Alicia's take on it. And what was so funny is this interview flew by, but we were so excited to give you guys kind of like the foundation. We were like, I already know that this episode will be having a part two at some point because we ended it and we were like, wait, what? Like our producer was like, the hour's up. We're like, what do you mean the hour's up? So we are for sure excited to deliver a part two to you guys at some point. But this episode really gets to the foundation where I feel like it all begins. It all starts at the foundation of your skin and really knowing what works, what doesn't, what matters, what doesn't matter. And Alicia is here to really dish it all. And like I mentioned, I have truly never transformed my skin with another person like this ever before. And I am a testament to kind of leaving the dermatology world of topicals and of steroids and of spironolactone and tretinoin and all those crazy things and very much getting back to much more of a holistic routine that gets at the root cause of healthy, happy, beautiful, glowing, dewy skin. So without further ado, please welcome a long-awaited episode with my favorite friend, esthetician, you name it, Alicia Pullen. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bedside Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. And guess what? We are finally having our long-awaited episode with Alicia. I know so many of you guys have heard me talk of my infamous facialist, Alicia. Like, I feel like you are a part-time character of The Bedside Show. I'm not even going to lie.
I love that I'm infamous.
You're infamous. Like, I am always like, my facialist, Alicia, la la la. And everyone's like, we get it. But no, I'm so excited to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm thrilled. So I was thinking back on like how we met, and I feel like I've shared this story like ish on the show, but I really feel like you were a manifestation in my life, which is kind of crazy. So next to Alicia's studio, which it no longer exists, is this random like LA vibey crystal shop. And I was like, do you remember this crystal shop?
Yes. I was like, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
And now I remember.
Yeah, it's no longer there. Yeah. You're like, what? And one day, I was probably like in my feels, and I was just like, I, for some reason, feel like I need to go to this crystal shop. And I'm not that much of a crystal bitch, but like, I was like, I need to go. And then I went. And I was like, okay, I don't know why I'm here. And this other girl in the shop was like, I don't know why I'm here either. I also felt pulled here. And we were like, weird, cute to me. Okay, bye. And I parked my car in front of your studio, which had just opened at the time. And I was like, oh. And I remember going up to your door and like taking a photo of the door and then going home. And it wasn't until like after I had booked my first facial with you and met you that I was like, wait, that was not about the crystal shop. That was about finding Alicia's new studio. Yeah. So
you were guided.
I was guided. I manifested you.
I love that. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be. And it was right at the time where I was dealing with a lot of hormonal acne, which we'll get into. But
it's true. We've come a long way.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
P.S. Gotten a lot of compliments lately on my skin.
I love that.
It's all because of you. Yay. But enough about me. Let's get into skin, all things skincare. We have so much we've been like gushing to talk about, even like in our sessions together. We're like, ooh, what do we want to cover? But I think like first and foremost, let's just like hear a little bit about how you basically got into skincare, because like, were you that girl always doing at home spa days, like with your friends?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was that girl for sure. I think literally as far back as I can remember, I've been obsessed with skincare.
Yeah.
Like anytime I could get my hands on like a little cream sample or something, I was like going after it.
Wait, I have a question. Were you like for me, my first intro to skincare was like the Clinique
I had that. It wasn't like my first intro to skincare because my mom was actually into skincare.
Okay.
So that's the thing, is like my mom was one of those women who like never painted her nails, never wore makeup, but she like invested in really good skincare. Mm. So I think that was kind of part for me of how I got intrigued, is I was like, oh, there's something here. Like she really like believed in investing in it, and she would always say, you get what you pay for.
Oh, wow.
When she was like picking out her skincare.
That's very like before her time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So I also grew up out in the woods, and she would show me how to make little like skincare packs for when you get a bug bite and stuff like that. So I had it in my mind like, oh, we can use things from nature to make skincare products already from an early age. And then when I discovered scrubs and like lotions and stuff, when I got into middle school, I would just spend hours giving myself spa days and like doing it for my friends.
I love
like spray tanning my friends.
I love that. Yeah. Also, I think it's really cool to know you as someone who makes literally your own amazing skincare products, and to know that I didn't even know that about you, that you grew like from your growing up. A lot of teaching around just like what's available.
Yes.
It's very like to the earth, literally.
Yeah. My mom literally grew all of our food. Yeah. She had this huge garden and was always like, you can make this tincture, you can make this tea, or you can make this thing for your skin. So I feel like that was like already a part of me.
Yeah.
When I started discovering skincare, I had that background of like, oh, I can make this.
Wow. Oh my God. Yeah. That is so cool. Okay. So then cut to you getting into becoming an esthetician. Like, what was kind of that track to then opening up your own shop, which is crazy.
Yeah. So I became an esthetician back in Seattle, actually, after I had already been in college for a while, but I had a friend who was an esthetician. And she really showed me that this can be a career. Mm. Like, I think like a lot of people, when I got out of high school, I was like, okay, I have to go get a 4-year degree. I didn't really understand that this thing that I was so curious and passionate about already could be my career mm-hmm. until I met someone who was doing it. And she suggested that I go to Aveda. I went to school. I already had it in my mind that I wanted to make products at that time. You had to write a paper like to get into the school. And mine was like, I want to make this. It was like all natural sun care.
Oh, wow.
That's what I wanted to do at the time. And then once I started school, I was like, oh, facials. Like, I'm obsessed. I love this. So then I kind of manifested my dream job in Seattle. My first job, I was working at this French spa at this beautiful hotel. And they gave us all kinds of training. And like, I really got to see what it was like to work in like a very high-end environment there. And like a very curated, personalized, it's just you and your client in like a beautiful room. And then I moved to LA and I worked in more of like a fast-paced environment mm-hmm. with you're seeing like lots of clients every day. It's a little bit more upbeat. Then I started thinking about, okay, what type of space do I want to work in? Mm-hmm. I had never seen that before and I wanted to meld those different aspects that I had experience working in different places and like create the perfect environment both for me to work in and what I thought clients would like even better
yeah.
than what was out there.
No. What do you feel like was the like perfect environment that you wanted to curate that was missing, like kind of coming from such parallels, you know?
Yeah. I think attention to the client. That's mm-hmm. what I wanted. I wanted to be able to give my full attention, really get to know my clients, see them on a more regular basis, have it be somewhat more affordable so that people could come on a regular cadence. I think that's what was missing from the first place that I worked. And people like me couldn't come see me there. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted some place where it was more accessible. And then you were getting that like personalized attention and also a place to really relax. Because mm-hmm. where I had worked more in LA, it's just very, you're kind of like in and out. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll get into this later, but there's a lot that goes into skincare that's not just the products you're using. Mm-hmm. Having that space to relax, to connect, a community aspect, which I really wanted to create as well. All of those things were kind of missing
yes.
from the places that I had worked at before.
Yes.
And I wanted to create that.
100%. And it's so evident going in there. And I feel so like blessed to have found your studio because I was the person, and we'll get more into this, but like I really was the person who wanted to take care of my skin consistently, treat myself to something that was like a really beautiful self-care practice. But like, I also am not the girl spending $500 on a facial. Yeah. And when you are that person, then that's happening, unless you're like fucking Gwyneth Paltrow, that's happening like once a year. I don't know. Like, so I think it's cool that you noticed that gap and you were like, I could charge like $500 a facial, but is that what I want? Like, no, I want community. I want people coming in consistently. And like, honestly, you're probably getting your coin for doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Like if people can feel like they're getting something amazing mm-hmm. and they're also getting the best price for that.
Mm-hmm. They'll be back.
They'll be back, yeah.
And they'll tell all their fucking friends, aka me. Like, it's like a...
Exactly. I have like so many friend groups that I'm like, I know everyone.
Yeah.
You all come to me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into a little bit of your skincare philosophy because I, like, coming kind of from really this background around... I want to say almost like holistic skincare from like your upbringing. Mm-hmm. What is it that you feel like is your model around taking care of your skin?
So for me, when it comes to skincare, the thing that I am really inspired by is just our bodies and our skin's natural regeneration process. We're so adaptable. We're always healing. And when it comes to skincare, I really want to create the environment for that to flourish. Mm-hmm. So for that, you really need to be very hydrated, you need a strong barrier, and then you can start adding in actives. So with everything that I do in a service or every product that I create, that's what I have in mind. We're nourishing the environment for your skin to be able to do that healing and that regeneration that we're prompting with the actives that we're using.
Mm. You know what's interesting? As you were saying hydration, I feel like the biggest myth, and it took me forever to figure this out, is the idea of drying out your skin to like cure acne.
Oh my God, I'm cringing.
Yeah,
no. Like, yeah, we're never drying out, please. That's the last thing we want to do. Yeah, because we need that barrier function. And without that, you're getting all sorts of bacteria, you're getting more reactive, and you're not able to heal. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot that plays into acne, even when it comes to hydration. I think people don't think hydration when they think about acne,
mm-mm,
but they're very linked. It's crucial to be hydrated and have an intact barrier for anything you're trying to achieve with your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, those are always my initial goals. And then that's also, I think, what sets me apart as a facialist as well, is that in a treatment, I'm always considering that. I'm always replenishing the skin, even while we're doing things like microdermabrasion, peels, deeper treatments. I'm always using that moment to replenish and rehydrate,
mm-hmm,
and gauge where the skin is at.
Yeah,
as far as that. And the main concept behind using actives in skincare is that you're creating like a minor trauma to the skin to prompt it to do that regeneration that we want, create more collagen and elastin. And the other side of that coin is healing.
Mm. I see. So wait, can you explain what an active is? I'm such a baby with this. Like, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah. So actives are really like any skincare ingredient that has like a purpose. So it could even, okay, be something like niacinamide or hyaluronic acid could be considered an active. But when I'm speaking about actives right now, I'm more so talking about like retinoids, mm-hmm, alpha hydroxy acids, those things that are kind of causing that trauma to the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And then in turn, we have to replenish after that. So even when our skin's just coming into contact with the sun or different things that are causing damage, we're always trying to heal. But especially when you're introducing those type of exfoliant actives is what I'm talking about. You have to be even more mindful about that.
I see. I see. Mm-hmm. You also taught me like to really strip down my skincare routine. So can you kind of like explain a little bit more about what that looks like and like basically why?
Yeah. I mean, that was something that I really started to see around the pandemic, was people layering like 10 different serums.
Yeah.
And like, if you want to do like the Korean 10-step thing, like I'm all here for it. But a lot of people were mixing things that don't work well together, just using a ton of, you know, they're using like salicylic and glycolic and this and that, and not replenishing their skin correctly,
mm-hmm,
or basically buying a bunch of products that sit in the cabinet and you're not using them.
Yes.
That major. I see a lot.
Major. I'm like really culprit to that.
So my thing really, when I'm guiding clients to get a good skincare routine, I want to keep it simple so that you can actually use it. Mm-hmm. I want it to become habitual, and I want you to love using the products.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to love everything you use. Mixing it up sometimes is okay. Adding new things is okay, but I like it to get really solid. We want a solid foundation of things that you use regularly, things that you love, and then you can kind of start piecing other things in there. Mm-hmm. And then you also want to just make sure that all your products work synergistically, which sometimes they don't. Sometimes you don't want to be, I think that's where skincare can get a little bit complicated and overwhelming, is it's like, can I use this in the same routine as this?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to start by simplifying things,
mm-hmm,
and slowly adding in the things that work for you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I was like a couple of weeks ago, I was like going to text you and then I didn't because I had it handled, but I used like a basically like an acidic exfoliant and then like some new hydrating face mask and basically had an allergic reaction on my face. I was fine, but I just had to like wash it off. And then I like kind of was like a little like red, a little Hy-Vee. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But it was like, damn, I again, go back to the basics. Like don't be
back to the basics. And sometimes even things that wouldn't cause a reaction, like that hydrating mask on its own maybe wouldn't have been an issue for you.
Yes.
But because you just compromised your barrier probably mm-hmm. with the acid, it just freaked out when you did it together.
Exactly. So, yeah. So you kind of introduced me to, like, you were just like, take everything away, especially when I was going through my hormonal acne journey, which honestly I think we should get into because they get so many questions about this. And people are like, I don't know what to do, because they found themselves in a similar position as me, being like, wait, like, I thought I was going to stop dealing with acne when I was a teenager, and I'm 29. And I was like, what's going on? So I remember when I came and saw you, you told me you were just like, it's really all about cleansing, exfoliating, and moisturizing and nothing else. And I was like, really?
So, yeah. So you have to get those things right.
Yeah.
So that's where I always start.
And you told me to stop using Cetaphil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge Cetaphil fan. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think a lot of people use it and think like, this is okay.
The reason I think that so many people are using like Cetaphil and CeraVe cleansers is because they're often dermatologist recommended because they're unlikely to cause allergic reactions. Mm. So that's great.
Yeah.
We love not having allergic reactions, but that's not all we're looking for.
From like, we need a little hump in there.
Like, let's do a little bit more. We can do better. And a lot of times people kind of miss an opportunity when it comes to cleansing. People think like, oh, that's the unimportant part of my routine. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting this on my face for a second and then rinsing it off. Who cares, you know? And I think cleansing is actually the most important part of your skincare routine because it's the foundation for it. If you're not getting your skin clean, you can't start a routine from that point.
Yeah. I realized when I was using like Cetaphil or like a CeraVe that it was such a surface clean. And I remember I had saw you or something and you were like, you're not even fully getting all your makeup off. And I was like, oh my God, how long has this been going on for? Like, I haven't, like, what?
Yeah. And that's a lot of people are not getting their sunscreen and their makeup off every day. It's always great to start with like an oil or a balm cleanse that can kind of like get into the pores and really grip into things and remove everything on the surface. And then you go in with the next cleanse to actually wash the skin. At first, you're just removing what you have on the skin and then you're actually cleansing the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also do that. Like I said, I'm a fan of a simplistic routine. You can also do that with whatever cleanser you like. A lot of times, if I don't have a lot of makeup on, I won't even start with an oil or balm cleanse, but I will always wash my face twice with the cleanser that I have.
Twice?
Oh, yes, girl. At least twice.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah. See, I'm learning things.
If you're very acne prone, sometimes even three times.
Okay.
And also, I think a lot of times people are not really washing their face. They're applying their cleanser and then rinsing it off.
Mm.
But there's a whole step in there where you're actually manually cleansing your skin. So I wash my face for at least a minute or two.
Wow.
For each cleanse. I mean, you get facials from me. I'm in there washing your face for a while.
Yeah, girl, you're deep. Like, sometimes I'm like, what did she even do? Alicia gives me like a full treatment. Like, you're so nice about it. Like, I'll get out of there and like resurrect and be like, how did that take an hour and a half? You know what I mean? Like, you're like, like there isn't that much involved into it. But like, there is, like, you are cleansing.
Yeah, each step gets a really thorough focus. And if you can do that at home, it makes a huge difference. So, yeah, giving that intention to cleansing, your cleanser doesn't need to be super complicated either. Nowadays, with skincare being so trendy and there being so many like buzzy ingredients, I'll even see things that are just ridiculous, like a retinol cleanser or like a niacinamide cleanser. Like, those things need to be on your skin sustained for weeks or months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we don't need those in your cleanser, but what we need in your cleanser is to really get your skin clean without stripping it,
mm-hmm.
without compromising the barrier or dehydrating your skin. So that is really the happy medium. And I think a lot of times people go straight to like an acne wash
mm-hmm.
when they are experiencing breakouts. And most people don't need that. You know, those acne-focused products are typically just getting rid of oil in your skin. And not all acne-prone people are oily.
Yes, witch. I feared oils forever.
Yeah.
And then it was like you introduced me to it and I realized how much my, not even my skin loves oils, but like my body. Like
yes.
I just thrive really well with like having like a lot of healthy fats and like taking my omega-3s. Like yeah. that oil that I had been avoiding for so long was like the, I feel like the hydration I needed.
Yes. I love that. And honestly, that is a huge thing that I've just kind of realized over the years of being a facialist is our bodies produce oil.
Mm-hmm.
Like our skin naturally produces oil. So it's something that really works well with our bodies and our skin. Like I find if someone is reacting to something during a facial, oftentimes the best thing I can do is go in with a balm and do a little soothing massage mm-hmm. because our bodies are just able to understand those ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, oil is not always to be feared. There are people who are oily and, you know, their acne can come from an overproduction of oil. But that's why it's so much better to see an expert and find out what's going on with your skin, because acne is so multifaceted and it doesn't come from the same place for everyone.
Mm-hmm. This is an interesting moment, and I want to get back to like exfoliating and moisturizing. Like yeah. that's going to be like our through, like we're going to go step by step, but I think it's a good time to talk a little bit about kind of the difference between seeing a derm and an esthetician.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll speak for myself. I really fell into the dermatology hole for maybe a little too long. And it probably came down to the concept of accessibility really for an esthetician. Like if we're going to go back to kind of like the ethos of your practice, like I just was like, oh, well, me going to get like a facialist and see an esthetician felt like not as accessible than like taking my like healthcare information to the derm. You know what I mean? And them just prescribing a topical. And I realized it wasn't until like my derm just kept upping my tretinoin, which is, if people don't know what that is, that's a like a topical steroid for acne that a lot of dermatologists prescribe. And they like kept upping my percentage and it just wasn't helping. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I think it does really help for some people. And it did help me for a second, but I kind of would love your take on like dermatology versus esthetician, and kind of like I see them both being important. I don't ever want to shit on like dermatology.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
we're not here to do that.
Yeah,
so we're very different. I think sometimes people think that there's kind of a hierarchy where it's like, you know, there's estheticians or skincare professionals, and then you get to the level of being a dermatologist.
Mm.
But we're quite different. So dermatologists are doctors, first and foremost, which I think is really important to remember what doctors do. They're able to diagnose an issue. So if you really don't know what's going on, like there are times when I refer my clients to see a dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
If I see something on the skin that I don't understand what that is, mm-hmm. I will refer them because they have the schooling and the knowledge to be able to diagnose mm-hmm. in a way that I can't. But they diagnose and they prescribe. So that's what you're getting at a dermatologist. And there are times when you maybe would need a medication if you're not able to get like your hormones in line, or you're really having a deep issue with acne that you're not able to solve through lifestyle and skincare. There are times when I think it is relevant to see a dermatologist, but as far as like curating a skincare routine for yourself, it's really important to keep in mind that they're there to treat a specific problem,
mm-hmm.
but they're not really looking at the overall health and beauty of your skin. Like, I'm trying to make you glow, you know, like that's not quite what their concern is. So in LA, there's definitely like more aesthetic, you know, dermatologists, but I do think it's really important to realize that there's a time and a place for each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And I definitely was like in a place where I was just like stripping my skin and was just like, wait, I think there's more of a root cause here that does have to do with lifestyle and just like.
Yeah, and they're not going to be able to really help you look into that. And mm-hmm. and not every esthetician will either. It really depends on, you know, it's so personalized as well. You have to find your person
mm-hmm.
who is going to look at your skin through the lens that you want to look at it through. Like, as you said, I tend to take a little bit more of like a holistic approach
mm-hmm.
and that worked for you.
Yeah.
You know,
it did.
Yeah,
it really did. So I know we chatted kind of all things cleansing, but let's talk for a minute about exfoliation, because before I saw you, it's so funny. This whole conversation is like, before I saw you, this is how unwell I was. No, but really, like, I really thought exfoliating was just like, what beaded scrub can you just basically like raw, like tear your skin raw with? Like, I don't know. Like, was so a novice in this category. So, and you were like, no, let me explain what exfoliating is. So for those listening who were like me, what is exfoliating and what does that like entail?
Yeah. So exfoliation is another tricky one that people tend to get tripped up with a little bit, because there's so many different ways to exfoliate your skin. And they're not all equal and they're not all going to be right for you. But basically, exfoliating is removing that top layer of dead skin cells. That's what exfoliating is.
Okay.
And through exfoliating, you're also prompting your skin to make new skin cells, to regenerate again. Always back to that piece. That's what we're always after. Yeah. We want that healing and that regeneration. But basically, when it comes more down to what clients are looking for, exfoliation is something you're going to really want if you're experiencing dullness or if you're experiencing clogged pores, if you're experiencing any sort of pigmentation issues. Really, everyone needs to exfoliate, but it depends on your skin what products you're going to use.
Okay.
So this is something people ask me all the time, so I kind of know what people are going to want to hear. Usually you want to exfoliate 1 to 3 times per week, depending on what type of product you're using and your skin, your sensitivity level, where your skin's at. But you'll often see things that say like daily exfoliant on them. And every esthetician has their different opinion. For me, I'm not a huge fan of daily exfoliation for most people, because your skin doesn't have time to have that buildup. What I like is more of a cadence with exfoliation, maybe a few times a week with something a little bit stronger, a little more kick to it. I think you get more results from that. And then, of course, doing like we've done with you, you know, peels and stuff. When you really get in there and start to do deeper exfoliation, there's different forms of exfoliation that we do in the treatment room versus what you're going to be using at home.
Yeah.
But the like apricot scrub is not it.
Yes, no, totally. And after I come to you, like, just look like I got freshly fucked, like in the best way. Like, I just have like the best.
I love that. That's my new slogan. That's so on brand for me.
But anyways, the exfoliation thing was interesting too, because I used to think it was kind of like had to do with like a grainier, like
physical exfoliation.
And you also like explained to me more of like kind of the acidic and like that type of exfoliating, and even the enzyme mask you have me using.
I love enzymes.
Yeah.
I'm an enzyme girl. I just love them. I feel like they do so much work without irritating.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I love that. Like, I'm like, how much results can we get without any side effects?
That's
me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not like a hater of physical exfoliation, but it has its time and its place, and people definitely overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little scrub on myself once in a while, or I do microdermabrasion, which is like a deeper form of physical exfoliation. But typically, I like people to be using an enzyme or like an alpha hydroxy mask at home. I love exfoliating masks.
Yes.
Because I also love multi-benefit products. So I'm like, can we hydrate while we exfoliate?
Yeah. Well, listen, Alicia knows this, but she like gave me this enzyme exfoliant mask that also is hydrating.
Yeah. And my clients will all be like, yep, I know it.
Yeah. And it's amazing. Like, honestly, we should like link it in the show notes. We're not sponsored. We just love them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I love this hydrating mask you gave me. And you were like, Tati, it's an exfoliant. How often are you using this? And I was like, what? And you're like, yeah, it's an enzyme. Like, it was just so funny because you were like, what?
I really need to be like, okay, this is how you use this. Yeah. Like, for your skin, I really wanted to be working on the bear and the reactivity.
Mm-hmm.
You're a little sensitive.
I'm sensitive.
So I'm like working on that reactivity at the same time is really important to me. So that's why I suggested the hydrating enzyme mask to you. Some people, their skin doesn't need that as much hydration. So I'm able to use something a little bit stronger, mm-hmm. like a glycolic type mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. When you see someone, can you tell immediately like their skin type, or are you kind of like working with it to then like understand it?
Skin type, I can tell right away once I do the analysis, like mm-hmm. under the light. Conditions can sometimes take a little bit longer to appear.
Yeah.
But skin type is really about how much oil you produce. So you can kind of tell right away by poor visibility.
Okay.
So I think that's something that people don't realize. Another big one is dry versus dehydrated. Oh, people yes. always come in thinking they're dry, but they're dehydrated, which dry means you're lacking in oil and dehydrated means you're lacking in water.
Okay.
So you could be oily and dehydrated, which happens a lot. I see that a lot. But people often come in being like, I feel dry. You know, I'm flaky. I feel tight. So those things I can see right away. And I do think that skin type is important. But I think that's another thing where things got a little bit reductive, where it was like, as long as you know your skin type, you can just choose any product for combination skin or dry skin. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
Everyone's skin is unique.
Yeah.
So skin type is an important tool to understand, but it's not the be all end all of your skin journey.
Right. So, that makes a lot of sense. When you say like someone comes and they're dehydrated, is it in like a topical sense or is it also like literally like drink water dehydrated?
It depends. There's different levels. There's like a surface dehydration and then a deeper level of dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
And some people just lose more water from their skin. So water kind of evaporates from your skin. That's why we like to have products that create a barrier. That's why it can be nice to use oils to really create that barrier so you're not losing water content. And then we're adding water in through the surface with like hyaluronic acids and other humectants. But if you're not drinking enough water, there's nothing I can do from the outside. Yeah, you got to drink water too. Yeah. I love it.
Oh my gosh, that's hysterical. And so I guess in terms of hydration then, in terms of like moisturizing, what are your go-tos around how we should be moisturizing our skin? Like, you know, do you think we should be doing more of like a heavy moisture at night, or like that has been a myth and like we should be hydrating our skin, you know, equally throughout the day? I'm just very curious like what your take is.
For me personally, I believe that concept of like a heavier cream at night versus the day is kind of about people not wanting that like shine on their skin, or it doesn't work with their makeup. For me, I use my Rich moisturizer morning and night.
Me too, girl. Love it.
Yeah. So, or like maybe people are using more of their like active, like anti-aging creams at night. But the main thing that you want to be doing, if you're concerned about hydration with your skin, I know we haven't really gotten into serums, but after cleansing is really when you start to think about your serums. So first and foremost, when you're thinking about hydration, start with your cleanser. Need to make sure if you're dehydrated that you're using a hydrating cleanser, something that's not drying out and stripping your skin. You'll know, you know. If you feel dry and tight, right? Like if you get out of the shower after washing your face and you're like, oh dear God, I need to put moisturizer on right away, you're probably using a little bit more of a dehydrating cleanser. And then getting in with a hydrating serum also can be really good. Something that is adding that moisture back into the skin. Everyone's heard of hyaluronic acid. There's also other things that help with that. And then using a moisturizer, something that also has that water base to it. A lot of people will go straight to an oil. But again, dryness needs oil. Dehydration needs water. So you need a moisturizer that also has that water base, the hydrating component. And then you can layer an oil or a balm on top of that to seal everything in.
I see. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. For people, because, you know, I think what's great about you, and it's like a through line we've touched on already, is that you're like, yes, I have like my skincare regimens and everything, but like, there's so much more to even like the process of coming in. And you alluded to like really creating a relaxing environment. And I think for me, one of the things is that I was like pretty high stress and like really needing to get real about managing even like my cortisol levels, which was really affecting my skin. So I am curious to hear from you about, like, what are other things that might be affecting our skin? And I mean, you could speak specifically to acne, but you could speak to like, I don't know if you see other people with other skin conditions and you're like, oh, this is might be clearly linked to something else in your life. So I'm curious to know a bit more of like the lifestyle factors that might apply to why our skin is reacting.
Yeah, absolutely. Stress is a huge one that I think gets overlooked. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about diet when it comes to skin, which I will touch on. But stress is the biggest one that I see, especially with like the demographic that I see where we are. Like a lot of people are under a lot of stress, and high stress produces cortisol, which spikes blood sugar. And basically all of the body's processes that aren't needed for fight or flight get suppressed. Even our reproductive system, it gets suppressed when we're in that like constant high stress, high cortisol. Mm-hmm. And that can affect our hormones, affect our cycle. It can even make our bodies produce more oil. So cortisol makes your skin produce more oil. So if that's an issue for your acne, mm-hmm. can also play into that. You're also not healing as quickly. So if you do break out, it's lasting a lot longer.
Yes.
Because every single thing that your body does that's not protecting itself during fight or flight is suppressed. And, you know, that stress response is healthy. We need to have that. But a lot of us are living in a constant stress response. Mm-hmm. And it also suppresses collagen and elastin production.
Oh, interesting.
So we talk a lot about acne, but stress is also not good for keeping your skin youthful and glowing and all the other things that we want. Mm-hmm. It really does play into it. So that's one of the things I see a lot that gets overlooked, or I guess the interplay gets overlooked. People are like, oh, I know something's up with my hormones, but they don't realize, or their cycle's off. Yeah. You know, that's what happens to me when I'm stressed. My cycle's off. My skin gets unhappy. It's all related.
Yeah. Yes.
And for a lot of us, that's the root. And then sleep is another huge one.
Mm, I'm living for sleep these days.
I love that for
like
you.
Like, I'm fighting for my hours in the best way. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to bed. Like, I'm stopping the show. I don't even care. Like, it's so nourishing.
Yeah, that's so important. Like, I'm trying to get on that level. I'm about to go on vacation. I just plan to sleep like 12 hours a night. So.
Oh, I can't wait for your vacation.
Yeah. Thank you.
Alicia, like, booked this, like, really amazing, like, solo Mexico trip. We're not going to go there right now. I'm like, we could side tangent. We won't.
Yes, we could go there.
Moral of the story, though, is, like, just book the fucking vacation. I just book got hot off of vacation, and I feel so
You look
revitalized.
Amazing.
Thank
yeah.
you. I just feel so I nourished. I'm like, I needed that so badly.
Yeah.
And no shade to the amazing like family trips that I have had between Connor and myself, like really blessed about that. Yeah. But we were just like, we need our own trip.
Yes.
Let's do it. So
do whatever you want. Be spontaneous. Be free.
Yeah.
Take the nap.
Take the nap.
Yeah.
Like no one's asking you to be somewhere.
Yes. And it's so important. Like most of us never really get time like that, mm-hmm. which is very important to not only experience on vacation, but to try to piece into our daily life.
Yes, yes.
That's really crucial. And then diet can also definitely play a role, but it's more, again, nuanced. I think people like a clear, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. I wish it was that concise. But if you have a sensitivity to something like gluten or dairy, or even nuts or something. You know,
soy
if you have
for me.
Yeah, if you have something that's causing constant inflammation within your body, your skin is not going to be happy with that. So, diet does play a role, but it's not like, oh, cut out dairy and your skin will be great.
Yeah,
for everyone. You know? It's not that simplistic. And then also each person depending on their ancestry, needs dip. Like you were saying, your body loves fats.
Yes, it loves it.
Yeah. Someone else, maybe not so much, but that something about the way you evolved, your ancestry, your body, it works with that. So I have a client who's a doctor who we just like love to pick each other's brains.
Yes.
And he is telling me all about that. Like he's like a preventative, like longevity doctor.
Oh, cool.
It's so cool to chat with him. But he was telling me that like it's so hard to give across the board diet to people because everyone needs different things. So you really do have to be intuitive and paying attention to what makes you feel good, what works for you when it comes to all of these factors from skincare to sleep to diet.
Yeah. And you're so on the nose where I think like everybody is seeking this like one answer. And then I remember when I was really going through my own like acne healing journey and being like, well, the internet and TikTok and Instagram and everything is giving me a million wellness trends. And I feel like almost inundated by all the possibility. And then I had to just really be like, okay, like, I like how you said, be intuitive about it. Kind of like, okay, there's also like an experimentation phase.
Yes.
But I think, and like having fun with that, but also just being like intuitively, like what is going to work for me? I said recently on like another episode that I did about burnout, we were like talking about cold plunging. And I was like, why am I so not interested in cold plunging? And the girl I was interviewing was like, well, then don't force it.
You're like, I have to cold plunge.
Yeah. Like, you know, like everyone's like into it, but it's like, if that's not going to work for you, that's not going to work for you. So I like that you're like, get into the intuitive and kind of explorative narrative of what that's going to look like for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really want to chat with you about injectables because I, like many, and especially in LA, it's just such a prevalent thing. And I think especially as we are women in our 20s, 30s, whatever, plus it's just such a societal norm at this point. It's kind of crazy. So what is your take on managing that? I know I've like asked you before because transparently speaking, I don't have any Botox in my face, but I've thought about it.
Yeah. Everyone is thinking about it.
Everyone's thinking about it.
It's on everyone's mind.
Yeah.
And I think actually almost every single one of my clients has talked to me about it at some point. So if you're curious, no, you're not alone.
Yeah.
Everyone is wondering about it. I am not an injectables hater. I have no like moral opposition to it. And I'm sure that I will do some Botox at some point.
Same.
But it's not the be-all end-all that it is made out to be.
Yeah, like this whole preventative conversation.
Yes. I'm not a huge fan of the concept of preventative Botox personally. Obviously, if you're not using those muscles and making those expressions, you won't be getting as many wrinkles in those places. So I'm not saying it's impossible to kind of prevent wrinkles by freezing those muscles, but I'm not sure it's the wisest move, especially because we need these muscles in our faces to create lift and structure and all of these things. And slowly we're kind of finding out that, you know, if you really weaken the muscles in your forehead over time, you know, you have less space between the skin and the bone, you know, and you have that more thinning in that area. And that can happen throughout. Thankfully, we're not usually using Botox in places like the cheeks or like really important structural areas, but it's definitely something to keep in mind. And then also they talk about muscular compensation. So it's like if you do this area, then you have to do this area because then it'll strengthen this muscle. And it's just not foolproof in the way that people sometimes think it is. So when I hear about like 21-year-olds getting Botox, to me, that's not something that I would recommend.
Yeah.
I think there can definitely be a time and a place for it, but you really want to be empowered and knowledgeable and don't feel rushed or pressured into doing it. Make sure that's something that you really want and do your research beforehand and know you're going to someone that you trust.
Yes.
You know, and ask questions. I feel like there's so much pressure to just be perfect, especially in LA.
Yes.
Like, yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
So it's important to just like be really aware of the choices that you're making around your skin, and especially with injectables, because they don't come without their side effects or their their cost benefit.
Sure, sure. What's interesting too is like, I remember, and I've said this to you before, like just being like, yeah, it's something I've thought about. And at this moment, like I'm in a place where I just actually want to take care of my skin.
Yes.
And like see what that does for me. Because I remember being like, oh, I really want Botox. And then being like, well, you haven't taken maybe the step in between, which is
yes.
What does it look like to have a really dedicated skincare and maintenance routine?
So important. And I cannot tell you, literally could not count the amount of times that people have, like my favorite part of a facial is when I hand you the mirror and you're like, oh my God, I look amazing. And I can't tell you how many times people have been like, oh, I thought I needed Botox, but I needed a facial.
Yes.
Like you're dehydrated or you needed a massage to release the tension that was causing those expression lines. So again, it's not the answer to every issue and it's also not always necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, Botox isn't going to make you glow. It's not going to make you dewy. It's not going to even out your skin tone.
There's a lot of freeze your face. Yeah, that's exactly. What it's going to do. Yeah, no, it's so true. And also, I feel like, and we'll, guys, we're going to have to do a part two because Alicia and I are just like, wait, we have so much to gush about.
It flew by.
It flew by. Our time flew by, but like you really helped reintroduce kind of like using tools like Gua Sha and yes. Like really lifting. And like, I know when I see you sometimes, like you'll really go into my forehead to get in mm-hmm. like fine lines and like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, wow. Like I needed that relief.
Yeah.
So I think that is also so interesting, like that facet of skincare.
Yes. There are so many things that can make a huge difference before you even consider going that route. And then a lot of my clients do get Botox and look incredible, and it's supplementary mm-hmm. to so many other things that they're doing.
Yeah.
So it's good to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, last question for you before we wrap. What is currently on your bedside table?
Okay, I feel like I have a lot of stuff on my bedside table. I have a huge thing of water.
Great.
Which you guys should all have. Drink water the second you wake up. Just like chug some water before you get out of bed. I have a little wooden heart-shaped box that my friend gave me with an amethyst in it that's supposed to help with like soothing dreams.
Ooh.
I have a chakra candle like for your heart chakra to open your heart chakra. I have the book Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Oh my gosh.
Which also the same friend who gave me the box gave me that book.
Good friends over here.
And yeah. Oh, and I have the body cream from Youth to the People.
Love.
That I love to put on before bed. Yes.
Oh my gosh. Do you give yourself really good facials like at home?
Yeah. Yeah. I give myself the best facials at home. And like afterwards, some days I'll be like giving people facials all day and I'll be like, they look incredible. I need a facial.
You're like, no fair. What about me?
What about me? So I like stay for an extra hour and give myself a little pampering. But my facialist, I hired her at BB Soft. So luckily I have my girl right there when I need her.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, please drop like all your information, where we can find you, what we can like buy from you. We didn't even get into your skincare line.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, again, we'll just, everybody knows we're already having you back.
Yeah, I'll be back.
You'll be back.
So in Atwater Village, BB Soft Skin Studio, that's my facial studio.
Yeah,
my handles are BB Soft, BB Soft Skin Studio, and BB Soft Skin for the products. And then bbsoftskin.com if you want to like hear more about my origin story, see all the products. Other brands that I recommend as well, you can shop on there. And also just more details about the studio and all things.
Love it. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Bedside Podcast. I hope you loved this episode as much as we did making it. If you have any feedback, questions, or suggestions for future episodes, or if you just want to chat, don't hesitate to reach out to us at The Bedside on Instagram and thebedside.co online. You can also find us at By The Bedside on TikTok. To stay updated on our latest episodes, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your preferred platform. And if you found this episode valuable, I would so greatly appreciate if you could leave leave us a rating, a review, text it to a friend, share it to your Instagram stories. Let's get this message out there loud and clear. Until next time, thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.